This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we are live. We are live here on Pet Life Radio and Instagram Live. And I know the just telling my followers that I started live video. And here we are, CC4, first one to join. Hello, hello, New York Yankee. Hello, hello. So anyway, hope everyone is doing well. Great weekend here. JB, hello. So as you know the story, here for you, here for your pets. Any questions you have, just throw them at me. Love to hear from you. And interestingly, I just came back from probably, from what I understand, the largest pet industry trade show in the world. It's called Super Zoo. And I go as sometimes press. I love, as an attendee, I always love to see, you know, what's new, what's out there. I actually started my day on Wednesday. I got there Tuesday evening, started my day Wednesday at Fox 5 with my friend Jason Feinberg. I met Jason years and years ago, and we just hit it off. He's a big cat guy. He's been one of the big morning hosts there for years. So every time I'm in Vegas, whether it's going to be for Western Vet Conference coming up again in February, though this year is going to be first week of March. And I say this year, I should say 2025. And I love going to Vegas. So I always let them know I'm going to be in Vegas. Let's do something. So of course I want to, you know, come up and do some kind of segment. And it's great because they, when it comes to animals, they are major, major animal people. Hey, B, how you doing? So this show is massive. If you've ever been to the Mandalay Bay Convention Center, for whatever reason, you know how large it is. And there are basically two exhibit halls side by side. They take both of them. And I've been there to Western Veterinary Conference. They don't even have that much. I mean, it's huge. So it was great. A lot of energy. A lot. I don't know if you saw some of my posts, and I have more coming. I did a lot of stuff with animals. I'm amazed. And one of the things I want to talk about, by the way, is you're going to see from my posts, these poodles that go through this grooming competition. It's unbelievable. But anyway, hold on. So a question from CC4. New. Hello. Welcome here at Instagram Live. My Labradoodle has horrible itching. We have been to the vet monthly attempting to clear her skin. Nothing is working. A friend recommended me. Well, I can give you some ideas. And one thing I should say, I mean, it is kind of important. And my sister has to be the one to remind me to announce it. But I just had my seventh grandkid, a son born. It's a third son to my son. And so it's number seven. Yep, they were maybe hoping for that girl. Maybe still will be at some point, but it's another boy, third boy. And I got to tell you, if he is anything like his next oldest brother, now the middle, was the youngest, boy, I pity my son and his wife, my Angel, because that second one is impossible. He is mayhem. We've already have a name for his new business. It's going to be Demolition by Max. And this kid is unreal. And I can only hope that the new one that is now here is not as demolishing. I mean, this kid, if he walks into a room, the best, you know, place to find something is after he broke it in the garbage, because that is Max. So anyway, let's get back to our question about itching. So first of all, allergies this season. And I don't know if how old is your Labradoodle. If this is something that's new, number one, I still think flea control, especially if it's something new, pollen allergies. Usually when allergies are seasonal, typically, there are going to be more pollens, grasses, weeds, things like trees, and also fleas. Those are the seasonal allergens. If you have something that's year-round, now I'm thinking food or something around your particular environment. And many ways to treat. First of all, elimination is the best. If you can find out what the culprit is, like if it's fleas, get them on a good flea control. Don't get the over-the-counter stuff. It's not going to work. I shouldn't say it's not going to work. First of all, it's very safe, but it's not going to work long-term. You need something like one of the four isoxazolines. Maybe if it's a cat, Revolution still works. But the industry standards, which were Frontline, which is fipronil, and imidacloprid, which is the active ingredient of the Advantix and Canine Advantix, they're very safe products. And they were the best. They were the, pardon the pun, the cat's meow. But they've been in the market too long. They haven't changed their formulations. And insects, as we know, have an amazing ability to adapt. And they build up resistance. And then before you know it, the stuff that was great is not so great anymore. Now, isoxazolines are the new wave, very effective. I know there's a lot of talk about seizures. I will tell you from experience, and I've prescribed thousands of doses, including my own dogs, five of them, and I've not had a problem. in talking to my good friend, Dr. Mike Dryden, he was chief of parasitology, now professor emeritus at K-State, Kansas State University. He's known world over as Dr. Flea. Nothing hits the market without going through his labs first. They've tested the safety, everything. Those animals that supposedly have this seizure problem, it's more of a, if they were already predisposed, if you have a dog that has a history of epilepsy or having had seizures, there is a possibility, yes, that the isoxazoline might, you know, promote another seizure. If it does promote the seizure, it doesn't mean that everyone is bad. You might want to then go and try one of the other three, but you have NexGard, you have Credelio, you have Simparica, you have Bravecto, much more effective. And from my personal experience, very safe. In the literature, very safe. When I talk about literature, I'm not talking about the internet. Because if you went on the internet, for example, and carprofen, vetprofen, Rimadyl, still widely used, very successful, but according to the internet, danger and liver failure. That was something that's literally 20 years old, and it was not a product problem. It was a dosing problem. And it has been long, long remedied, and it's not a problem. So just, you have to take internet with a grain of salt. I mean, like I always say, the internet is full of information, but it's also full of a lot of misinformation. So don't be fooled by thinking that, uh-oh, I can't use the isoxazolines because of what the internet says. Yes, there are going to be cases, but you know what? I always say this. I want you to, I'm sure you all watch TV. If you don't, you're lucky. But anyway, if you watch TV and you see these commercials and you see these beautiful scenes of this person with the arthritis or with the skin problems or, you know, RMS, and how fantastic the drug is, at the very end, that voice comes on and telling you, and you could die. Yet it's not scaring anybody away, because those are very rare cases. And I mean, really rare. But according to the FDA, every untoward reaction to any medication has to be mentioned in the commercial, and they do. So yes, it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Okay, now, hello, Gila. Thank you, Beth. Annie. All right, let's see. Mad Max, there he goes. That's a good man. He's impossible. If you ever think you want something destroyed in your home, you know, you want to throw it out, just call Max. All right, let me see some questions. I know, Grandpa Worms, that's how I feel. All right, number 7, it's pretty amazing. All right, let's get some questions here. So anyway, let me talk about, for example, I mentioned, oh, by the way, I did some great posts with corgis and their caviar and her skin. Oh, so let's go back to the skin thing. So if you're going to eliminate the source, then that's great. If you can't, then you need to treat. Number of ways of treating. If it's something that is really, really bad, then you can think about basically desensitizing. And that means sending some blood, either seeing a dermatologist for skin testing, or I do the blood test. And most of the blood test is still pretty good. And you get from the results, you make antigens and you start giving shots at home to build up the patient's own immunity. As far as treatment, a number of great treatments. The newest, obviously, are Cytopoint, also known as CADI, C-A-D-I, canine atopic dermatitis immunotherapy, and also the Apoquil, the Ocrelizumab. Now, they are very, very effective. They work a little bit differently, both made by the same company, Zoetis. I like the Cytopoint. I think it's a lot easier. It's once a month, or I've even gotten 6 to 8 weeks on some dogs. But one thing that's important to know is in dogs, and this doesn't work in cats, but in dogs, often by seeing where the lesions are on the body, gives you some idea of what you're dealing with. For example, if it's lower back, base of the tail, a scab, sores, I'm looking for fleas, and I'll look, and I usually will find one. And if they're on good medication, most adult fleas spend the most of their life on the pet. You know, that old adage of saying, well, if you one flea on the dog, it's 40 fleas in the environment. Yeah, in a way, that's correct, because the eggs fall off, they hatch, they become young adults. Those young adults you might find in the carpet, the little babies, but they're looking for the host. They're looking for that dog. Once they take their first blood meal, something changes in their intestinal tract to where now they need that blood meal. And if they don't get it, they're dead in a day or two. So very important to know that. So if the lesions are on the abdomen, the groin, inside the thighs, now you're thinking of inhaled allergens. That's called atopy, atopic dermatitis. So then, yes, then you're worrying about season allergy. Feet, you not use often means some sort of food allergy. Now, food allergies aren't as common as the others, but I'm saying, I'm thinking more and more, I'm seeing more and more food allergies. And if they rub their face, if their ears, now ears can happen from atopy, inhaled allergies, but also food allergies. So there's little overlap there with ears. But when they sit there and are tacking their feet, I think food. If you see them rubbing at their faces or walking like against furniture or a wall, rubbing their faces, I would think food allergy. Also, if they do that and they only do that, think about the bowl they're eating in. They are allergic to some of the dyes and the plastics and the ceramics. So if you have that problem and it's really just rubbing their faces, you see redness around the muzzle, put them on a stainless steel bowl and wait it out and see if that improves. So if none of those things work, then you may have to think about seeing a dermatologist or at least having the allergy testing and go from there. It is a problem. Seasonality is a big key because it helps you eliminate a lot of things. So now during the spring and summer, when that's seasonal allergy, and if they have a food allergy, it you know, there's so many overlaps. I say, hang in there, try the treatments, wait it out. Now, if Cytopoint and Apoquil no longer work, and sometimes they don't, oftentimes I'll go back to the good old steroid we used to use for years and years and years. Just make sure you use it properly. You don't overload them. Talk to your veterinarian. There are safe ways to do it. You want to do what's called a decreasing dose and get them on an alternate day or every 3-day schedule. That is safe. As I said, we've done it for years. So I'm not afraid of steroids, but I do prefer the Cytopoint or the Apoquil. All right. Now, as far as the caviar, I'm not familiar with that. I mean, first of all, most don't eat caviar. Now, if it comes to food, let's talk about that for a second. With food allergies, the four biggest culprits typically are poultry, beef, corn, and wheat. That doesn't mean they can't be allergic to other things too. So what I always recommend is starting with what's called a hypo or non-allergenic diet. Now, non-allergenic, you need to go to your veterinarian for some things that are under prescription. For example, ZD Ultra, very effective. Some of the HP, hydrolyzed protein diets can be effective. But also novel proteins or single antigen diets. And I mean novel proteins. You're looking for something that your dog has probably never been exposed to. Things like, well, it could be caviar, it could be one of them. But the fish, tilapia, cod, salmon, or duck, or bison, or rabbit, or venison, or kangaroo, or goat. There's so many new foods out there that only have one protein source and one either grain or vegetable source. So there are many things out there. Talk to your veterinarian. If you need to get a hold of me, I can give you some names of places, at least here in LA, which have amazing varieties of foods that are new. If it's brand new to the body, then chances are they have not had a chance to react to it yet. Not to say that they may not in 6 months, but at least it'll provide some relief now. Oh, you were there for one day. Well, I was there. I was there all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, and I got back Friday morning. Yankee, hello. Eloise. Eloise, come on. I'm sure you must have some questions. And then, can old dog be safely neutered? Yes, absolutely. Age is not a disease. Not only is it safe, sometimes it's highly advised because you may not have seen the post. They may not have caught up yet. But I had a pyometra surgery. Pyometra is a uterine infection. This was called a closed pyo, meaning there was no place for that pus that's building up in the uterus to escape. And it was building up and building up and building up. And I tried to convince this pet parent to have the surgery done and was no, no, no. Finally, they let me at it and we did it. The dog is doing great. The white blood cell count with a high normal of usually 17,500 was up to 55 or 56,000 a week later, because he still wouldn't let me do it, was 64,000. Finally got the okay. I'm telling you, I hope you can handle the video if you see it, but it is after we removed this uterus full of pus, you could see it, 7.85 pounds. That's almost 8 pounds that this poor dog was walking around with, his humongous pus-laden uterus. And she wouldn't let me remove it. So we finally did. But so age is not a disease. I don't ever make a decision just based on age. Now, I may use age as a practicality discussion, but it would help me definitely modify my choice of anesthetic agents, induction agents, and gas. Yes, we don't ignore age, but my final decision is not going to be, well, everything is fitting in, but I'm not going to do it just because he's 15. Remember, I did surgery on my 15-year-old Labrador. And this dog lived to 16 and a half. If I would have used age, who's going to knock out? What idiot is going to anesthetize a 15-year-old dog? Well, Labrador, a large breed, no doubt. Well, that idiot was me, because I said, look, his bloods came back great. His chest was clear. All the parameters were fine. And if I didn't do it, we'd be looking at euthanasia within the week because he had a very aggressive bleeding tumor. It ruptured. The dog was bleeding all over the place. Was miserable. What do I have to lose? Might he have died on the table? Of course he could have. Was it a risk? Of course it was a risk. I'm not saying there's no risk, but I took the precautions. He did great. Then he lived a year and a half afterwards. 16 and a half for a Labrador? That's very rare. So the answer is yes. Not only safely, we should do it. When it, of course, it depends. If it was something cosmetic and it had a little wart and or a little lipoma, no, I don't think I would do it either. But if it was something that was important, and if not doing it was more of a risk than doing it, then I'm taking the risk. So, Zuper, is there any problem? Yeah, we're going to get to that second half of the show. Some really cool stuff. I woke up with red bumps on her belly. She was not out in the heat. So there are, I mean, first of all, a dog can have a reaction to anything. If there was red bumps on the abdomen, so I'm thinking something that he or she was sleeping on, her belly. So she was sleeping on that caused a reaction. Could have been a dog bed. If it was newly washed, if it was new, if there's new carpeting, if it was a carpet cleaner, that I call contact dermatitis. That means something that she was lying on, slept on, something that rubbed against her on her walk. She may have gone through some bushes. And remember, the belly, the abdomen, doesn't have a whole lot of hair. So something that wouldn't, the same thing rubbing against the skin, the coat, may not have caused a problem. But on the abdomen, no hair, nothing to protect it, it caused some dermatologic reaction. Am I worried about it? No. Usually those you can treat with some nice wash, soap and water, maybe Pramoxine, which is an antihistamine, if you want to use a spray. Like my Dermamist or something that has chlorhexidine in it, antibacterial, ketoconazole, antifungal, those things can be effective. And also, this is where I advocate a little steroid use, getting a little, any kind of anti-itch spray that has a little cortisone, 1% hydrocortisone, that could be fine. So those are the things I recommend. Even give it a Benadryl. This type of reaction maybe have a histamine release effect, and therefore, I would recommend an antihistamine, Benadryl, a milligram per pound. At the very least, if it may not work as an antihistamine, it'll certainly sedate him a little bit and she'll be able to at least relax and not be so bothered by the reaction. 11-year-old Yorkie has 4 years at the cytopoint injection. She gets bumps in her skin. Can they become immune to it? You know, it's a great question. I don't know if I have not seen it, but then again, it's really not been on the market for that long. Here's what I recommend. If it seems like they're not responding as they did initially, either the source is different of the cause of the bumps, then I would try Apoquil or do both. Add Apoquil to it for like a week or two and see if you get a major difference. If there's no change, and then again, I you might want to see a dermatologist. I might, for my case, I would try a little bit of cortisone and see if that works. It is possible that there could be resistance to the cytopoint, as with anything. Anytime an animal gets something, too much of it and has had it for years, it may have lost its charm. That could happen. So try some other things before you go to steroid or before jumping to the allergist. And if they are, it depends also where this, now, if they're on the back end, then I would 100% look for fleas. But for all of these, when you start seeing bumps and scabs and severe redness, you got to think also a bacterial infection. So many times I've had cases come in where I think the allergy part was being treated well, but I'm seeing scabs, I'm seeing sores, which tells me bacteria. So I put them on an antibiotic, safe as can be, and they respond. So you have to kind of look at the big picture. Oftentimes we, in any medicine, veterinary medicine, human medicine, we have our blinders on. We know what we've seen before. We say, okay, let's treat this. Every now and again, you got to take those blinders off and look at the bigger picture and see, is there something I'm missing? There's something that we, you know, overlooked in earlier treatments. Let's try it. And that's, I think that's where practical medicine comes in. Scientific medicine, academic medicine. Of course, we have to know our academia, but I don't hang my hat on that solely. Sometimes you got to get a little practical, think out of the box and try things that are safe. So in this new feed your dog once a day, do I believe in it? Not a yes, not a no. I think it depends on the dog. I have four cats now. And one of them is not a breakfast cat. He noshes during the day, right? He free feeds, just a little dry food out, but he eats in the evening. I've seen many, many a dog that seem to be once a day eaters. It's up to the dog. Now, one thing that I remember, and maybe that's changed, I should maybe look it up instead of opening my big mouth, but the act of eating burns calories. For example, if you had a dog that's on a 400-a-day calorie diet a day, and you break that up into 200 and 200, the act of firing up the digestive process is going to use more energy than not. So if it's only once a day, he might, if he was, especially if weight is an issue, he might maintain or get heavier. So you can sometimes take a dog who's a little bit on the chunky side, maybe, you know, on that range, we, you know, BCS, a body conditioning score, you go from 1 to 9, and at least we do. There's also a 1 to 5 scale. I like the 1 to 9 scale, 5 dead center. So for those, if he's a 6 and you want to see, you know what, he's only eating, well, let's try to feed him once a day instead of twice a day, see what happens. Anyway, I can't believe it. I'm talking my mouth off. And Mark is looking at me. We got to take for a break for a quick advertising, and then I will get back to you in just a minute. Stay tuned here on Instagram. We can talk during the advertising. Don't go away.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And the thumb is up, which means we're good to go. So during the break, here on Pet Life Radio, question came up, at what age do you need to do senior blood work? Again, I am practical. As a 20, 30, 40-year-old, I never went to a doctor. So am I going to go in for annual rechecks because I'm healthy as can be and I'm in my 30s or 40s? The answer is no. So no different for dogs. So for me, assuming health, no problem. We're not doing a dentistry where I'm going to do a little pre-anesthetic screen. I'm talking senior lab work. For me, large breed dogs, it's 7. Small breed dogs and cats, it's 8. Now, if I had an animal coming in at 7, 7.5, small breed, that's also having some other problems, or we need to do the teeth, I may as well use, of course, I'm going to do the senior now. Why have them come in there and then do it 6 months and do another panel? So then I'll do a senior. There's no hard, fast rule, but I would say by 8 years of age, if the animal is perfect, small breed or cat, or large breed at 7, I'm recommending senior blood work and annually. There are many things we pick up, many things that we want to adjust, whether it's diet, whether it's some sort of exercise, whether it's a supplement. It helps us see things before they become clinical. That's the beauty of doing these tests. Don't wait until there's a problem with for example, the liver disease is really liver disease when you can catch it early through a routine blood screen. Food and several metal bowl, where are the point of going to allergy doc? The Cytopoint's not working. Tried Apoquil. If that doesn't work, then it's either going to be going to, and also think around the house. If it's not seasonal, there easily may be something around the house. Then do an allergy test. Have your doctor, your GP, can do one of the blood tests. There are a couple out there that are really good. And if that doesn't work, or if you choose to see a dermatologist at that point, but I got to tell you something. The blood allergy tests have become so excellent that you inject the allergens and you look for the reaction, but you need to keep on hand the antigens that are very expensive. They have a shelf life, and I don't do enough of them to justify that. So those I'll send to the dermatologist. But if it's just to do the blood test, I can draw the blood. So I'm going to do that. So I always ask, I usually try to push for the blood test first and then treat based on the results of the blood test. So, oh, caviar is her name. That's so funny. So, well, anyway, but caviar can eat caviar. I don't know what kind of budget you have, but maybe it probably will be. It's a great source of protein and probably will be very, very effective as a novel protein, because I'll bet you most dogs are not being fed caviar, just like most people aren't eating caviar because they can't afford it. So, all right, let's see. Same flea meds for yours should change it. Well, if flea meds aren't working, well, let's put it this way. If the fleas are a problem, if they're on flea medication and you're still seeing fleas, then I would say yes. Now, if the flea numbers have dropped, now remember one thing about these medications, that they are not repellents. They don't kill fleas just by a flea walking on the skin. The flea has to take a blood meal. So the problem is there. You see a flea on a dog. Is it a flea on a dog that just jumped on? Hasn't had a blood meal yet, or a flea that just ate, it's going to take an hour before it dies. So just by seeing fleas on the dog doesn't mean that your medicine's not working. So go easy on that. Just make sure. But over time, you should see an improvement. All right. Let's see. Hello, Linda, Carol, Bubbly, Victoria, Aletta. How are you? You got to see that. Go online. Check her out. She's like a, I didn't realize, like a famous ballerina. Amazing stuff. Okay. Eloise, if you have a dog with Addison's, it's dangerous to get their teeth clean. No, absolutely not. Now, if they have Addison's, I'm hoping they're on treatment. Okay. And the treatment is something called Percortin or Zycortal. And it's a once every 28 to 40 days, depending on the dog. And they usually do pretty well. So I have no qualms. Again, by not doing the teeth, the dangers there are sometimes worse than a risk. Now, if you have a dog that's on, that is an Addisonian, but is controlled as they should be, because if you knew they were an Addisonian, that means you had a diagnosis. Anyone who's going to diagnose Addison's and not treat it, that I'm a bit surprised. So if they're on just treatment, the appropriate treatment, and they're doing well clinically, then I have no problem not doing the teeth. Okay. Pleasure meeting a super zoo. Ah, oh, there's another French. I met so many Frenchies. First of all, you know me, I can't walk by. I'm at a big pet show conference, and it was like one of the biggest ones in the world, apparently. And I'm going to see a lot of dogs. And yes, every time I saw Frenchie, I tried to stop and say hello and do a little something there, but they are adorable. Dermamist is perfect. Yes, I find Dermamist works really great, especially if it, again, if it's either bacterial or there's a yeast component. Yes, the Dermamist is going to work great. Trying to get to the questions before we have to say goodbye. Thoughts on probiotics, prebiotics, postbiotics, importance of gut health with allergies. I am a big fan. As you know, I recommend probiotics. Well, prebiotics, just so you know, are basically fiber. And I'm always a big proponent of fiber in the diet. And a talk I went to a veterinary conference last year, well, it was actually this year, but earlier in the year, I was amazed that though I like, I've always recommended things like oatmeal, cooked oatmeal and pumpkin and psyllium. Psyllium powder seems to be the favorite of the GI people. And I've started advocating a lot of psyllium, not a lot, because you get too much, you're going to get diarrhea, soft stool, but it really is effective. It's an effective source of carbs. And that it works well. The fiber helps as a great prebiotic to work with the probiotics. Probiotics are I'm a big fan of. Those are like your all your natural probiotics, things like you would see in yogurt. And there are zillions of these in some of the over-the-counter preparations. I'm actually thinking of adding one. We're looking into adding one on my line, but because I am a big fan. So there's another product that I really like called Mutt Gut. So you could try that. There's Proviable. That works well. You have Fortiflora by Purina. These little packets makes it easy to administer, put it on the food. I am a big fan. Now, how about, do we need them at all times or just when there's a flare-up of a problem?
That is a personal choice. There's no downside, in my opinion, to just keeping them on the supplement.
So anyway, there you have it. Thanks for joining me. Love to hear from you during the week. It doesn't just have to be on Sunday. And of course, those of you that are my patients, if you have any questions, you know how to get them. Have a great week. Have a great day. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.